I'd like to welcome NOFA Vermont's conference organizer, Olga Moriarty.
Hi, Carl.
Good to have you on the show again.
Great to be here.
So tell us, what's in the store for us this weekend in Randolph?
Sure. Well, I would think most of your listeners have heard of NOFA before, but we have a conference every year. This year it's our 27th annual. It's been moving around the state, but for the last, I don't know, I think about 10 years it's been at Vermont Technical College in Randolph, which is a great host for us. And it's a two-day conference. Last year we moved it to 2 days simply because we're growing at such a rate where we were bursting at the seams for 1 day. So taking it to 2 day really helped us expand things and give us a little bit more elbow room. And we found that people really love that. And I was surprised to see so many people attending for 2 days. So we did the same thing this year. We actually expanded to 3 days this year, including a special intensive workshop that's happening on Monday. But just to talk about the general conference that happens on Saturday and Sunday, we have about, it's over 65 workshops happening on those 2 days. And they range in topic for, you know, organic farmers who have an existing farm, who've been commercial growers for a while, or those people who are just starting. We have workshops intended for apprentices and new beginning farmers who are just trying to get some systems in place or even just do some more business-related talks. But then we also have a huge range of workshops for the gardener and the homesteader, as well as the consumer, who have no desire to be farmers necessarily, but they do want to see the local food system strengthen, either by growing their own food, having alternative energy implemented in their home or homestead, or buying local. How can we support more local enterprises in our neighborhoods and our communities to just, you know, have more delicious, healthy food that's organically grown? So there's a slew of workshops happening over 2 days, as well as, you know, just some other fun things like our potluck lunch, and we have music and a huge book table and resources available to everyone. It's quite a rich weekend around food sovereignty.
Let's not let that potluck lunch go by so quickly. That is, you reckon the biggest potluck in Vermont?
I would say in New England.
In New England.
You know, the conference started however many years ago, and, it, you know, small budgets. We're just figuring it out how we can get a bunch of people together to talk about these issues. And, you know, the potluck is an easy format. So it started, I believe, in Goddard College, and it was easy. You know, there's 150 people coming. Sure, we can do a potluck of 150 people. But then it's grown, and now we have over, last year we had 1,300 people. So over 2 days. And we ask that everyone bring a potluck dish. And it works. Vermont Technical College is extremely accommodating for us, and they work with us. And so we have this potluck, and everyone comes, and it's pretty well organized. As far as we organize it by your last name, depending on what letter it starts with, that's what type of dish you need to bring. So everyone comes in the morning and drops off your potluck dish, and then we have about 40 volunteers bringing everything to our cafeteria, and then we have volunteers in the cafeteria sorting through everything and deciding what should go where. And, you know, it's a little bit of a trip. No one really, I mean, some dishes you know what they are, some dishes you don't.
And if you want to come back 10 minutes later, then there's a new variety of dishes out there.
That's exactly right. You will not get the same thing twice. And and it's delicious. You know, it's delicious
wonderful
food. It's fantastic. Yeah. And it is totally a highlight. You know, we're serving a lot of people. And we do bulk up the potluck with things like, I was actually just at Missy Knoll Turkey this morning, and I have 12 turkeys in the back of my car. We have all of this great food that's also donated to sort of bulk it up. So there are these staples, but
and,
I would say the highlight for sure are all these dishes coming from everyone around the state.
And if it's not convenient for you to bring a dish for the potluck, you can still join in by buying a ticket.
You can buy a ticket. I believe it's $8 this year at the door, and yep, that's totally acceptable.
Okay.
And I will say that this year we are trying to break a Guinness World Record. I didn't know this, but someone actually contacted us to talk about the potluck because they wanted to feature it in a few magazines. And she said, you know, did you know that the world record for Guinness is, I think it's 602 dishes? And I said, oh my gosh, you know, I think we could definitely surpass that. So we actually have a little counter this year, and we're going to count all of the dishes this year, and we'll just see what happens.
So it's just number of dishes. We don't have to do things like go through the line on hopping on 1 foot to get into this record.
No, okay. No, that's not part of it.
Okay, very good. Anything else you want to add, Olga?
Well, I would say, so if you want to know more about the conference, you can still get ticket or registration. You can do it probably at the door at this point is the best way to do it. But if you want to learn more about the workshops offered and the agenda, you can go to the NOFA Vermont website, and that is NOFAVT, NOFAVT.org, and click on the Winter Conference site. And that'll bring up the registration form. And like I said, I think it would be better probably at this point to just show up, and you can get tickets at the door. And the cost is, if you're a member of NOFA, for both days it's $75, and if it's just one day, it's $40. If you're not a member, you're, of course, welcome, and it's just $20 more. It's $95 for the 2 days and $50 per day.
Okay, very good. And there's quite a range of workshops there. I urge everybody to go to nofavt.org and look at the workshops, root cellars and kimchi making and transition towns and just about anything you can imagine, as you said, Olga, from the person just interested in getting involved in the local food movement somewhat to professional farmers. And everybody can rub elbows with some of the best farmers in Vermont.
That's right. That's one of the best parts, I think, about the conference is you see these faces there and you think, oh, my gosh, you're Jack Laser. Mm. You do Butterworks Farm. And it's wonderful. And these farmers love to meet their consumers, and they love to help out the people who are just starting off. So it's a really great time of year to get together and get excited about the upcoming growing season.
Okay. Well, thank Olga Moriarty, organizer of the NOFA Vermont Winter Conference in Randolph this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Carl. See you next weekend.
See you in the weekend. Bye. And now we're going to have a real treat. We're going to talk with, and that was a pretty good treat talking with Olga too, of course, but we're going to talk with the keynote speaker for one of the days of the conference, with a two-day conference, each day meant to be standalone because, as Olga said, they tried to spread out the burgeoning attendance over 2 days. And we have two keynote speakers. One of them is Andrew Meyer. He's a co-owner of Vermont Soy, producer of fresh organic soy products in Hardwick. He owns Vermont Natural Coatings, a professional-grade environmentally safe wood finish made from whey. And he's a founder of the Center for an Agricultural Economy, which is a nonprofit in Hardwick. And its mission is to support an economy based on food and agriculture by creating a healthy food system for the 21st century. He's also a long time, he's got farming in the genes. His family runs a North Hardwick organic dairy, and for the last 5 years, they have won the highest quality milk award for the state of Vermont. So, Andrew Meyer, welcome to Equal Time.
Hi, Carl. Glad to be here.
And you're going to be talking about the Hardwick model, which everybody seems to be talking about these days, rebuilding a healthy food system.
Yeah, I've got a great honor of being a keynote speaker at the NOFA conference on Saturday, and we'll have an opportunity to talk more about what we're doing up in Hardwick to help develop this economy that we hope will be supported by food and agriculture.
And do you intend to focus on the Center for an Agricultural Economy itself, or are you going to be talking about the individual enterprises that go into the Hardwick network, or how are you approaching it?
Well, the healthy food system is a very complex system, and we feel very strongly, both at the nonprofit level and the mission-based companies that are all involved here, that there needs to be a systematic approach, and there needs to be a tremendous amount of collaboration among all the interests, from the community to the businesses, to institutions, to really fully develop a healthy food system. As you may know, the healthy food system goes from the soils and the seeds to the farm and where it's grown, being able to process and storage those goods at a value-added component, and then to be able to distribute them not only here in the local area but to export, to bring dollars back. Also, there's the consumer plays a critical role in this healthy food system, so educating those consumers and making food available is important as well. So, what I'm going to talk a little bit about is what the Center for an Agricultural Economy is helping do to collaborate all these interests, and also give you a little virtual tour of the exciting things that are going on here from a lot of these mission-based companies.
Mm. Now, health and food system. Health and food, they go together really well, but I'm not sure what a healthy food system is. Can you describe what makes a system healthy or unhealthy?
Well, we know what a non-healthy food system is, and that's the food system that this country has been relying on and using for many, many years. We feel that a healthy food system again, there's the issues that we put forward to develop a healthy food system has to go with not only the economic drivers of a healthy food system, the energy issues involved, the education involved, in having people know where their food comes, but also to be able to make grow food that's safe and reliable, at the same time making that food available to the market. So within that healthy food system, there's a tremendous amount of complexities that need to come together.
Mm. So safe and reliable, that has a real clear connection with human health, and education, you know, certainly has a connection. If you know more about your food, then you can make better choices for yourself and become healthier. Now, we had a guest on last week who hosts the Food Chain Radio, Michael Olson, and he was saying that one of his three laws of the food chain is that the closer your food source is to you, the more control you have over it. And I expect that has something to do with a healthy food system in your mind.
Absolutely, and that's very strong awareness of food security, where our food comes from and how many miles it's traveled. Issues of concentration and consolidation are also major issues that impact the safety and health of the food as well. And what we've known throughout, basically based on a commodity corporate policy, is that doesn't support foods at the local level. And what we're really going to try to do here, and by setting this example and model in Hardwick, by collaborating, is to prove that you can have a successful economic model for food and agriculture.
We're talking with Andrew Meyer. He's a co-owner of Vermont Soy, the owner of Vermont Natural Coatings, one of the founders of Center for an Agricultural Economy in Hardwick, and a keynote speaker at NOFA's Winter Conference coming up this weekend. If you'd like to ask him a question, our local number is 244-1777. If you're outside the Waterbury calling area, the toll-free number is 877-291-8255. So what does it take to get us to have a stronger local food economy? Is it enough for the Center for an Agricultural Economy to help coordinate the missions of these private companies? Do we need changes at the national or state level in policy? What does it take?
Well, we know that there's in Vermont, there's a number of very mission-based, ambitious nonprofits. We have a great delegation at the federal level. We have a good we have a tremendously supportive Secretary of Agriculture here in the state. But what I think that what needs to happen is that there needs to be an economic driver behind any sort of model that can be sustainable. And I think what we're seeing here in Hardwick is that we have mission-based businesses who all need to make a profit to be successful and sustainable, but also are giving back and helping create this system that can then reach out and connect the systems that need to put into place to help the community as a whole. And I think the Center for an Agricultural Economy, as a nonprofit, its role is not to stimulate this. It's to really collaborate all the interests that are going on. But I think for this to be successful, it needs to be driven by those risk takers in the business area. And then by showing example, I hope that will be translated into better policy, both at the state and federal level.
Now, one of the keynote speakers at NOFA a couple years ago, I think now, was Judy Wicks. She is a founder of the White Dog Cafe in Philadelphia. She also founded the Ballet Network, the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. But part of the story that she told with the White Dog Cafe was how she discovered a source for locally grown pasture-fed pigs and how she wanted to offer that to her customers. And she realized that she could just do it herself and kind of tie up the local market and that, use that as a premium marketing tool for her. But she decided she wanted to involve other restaurant owners in that and really grow the local market for pasture-fed pigs. And so all of a sudden, these people who were normally competing with each other for restaurant or cafe customers were cooperating in their food procurement. Do you have stories like that to tell in Hardwick?
Yeah, I think that's what's exciting about what's going on here. The businesses, Pete's Greens, Jasper Hill Farm, High Mowing Seeds, Bonnie View Farm, Claire's Restaurant, Patchwork Farms, there's a number of ag and food-related businesses that we meet once a month to discuss things, to share ideas. We even loan each other money. There's a real collaborative approach to what we're trying to do here, and we've all recognized that by helping each other, we're actually advancing not only our own causes and businesses, but the overall mission at the same time. So there's a tremendous amount of that going on here, and I think that's what's gonna help, if we are successful, be a real key ingredient to that.
Mm. And building up a sort of commercial ecology is often important in centers like this, where one commercial organization, one business takes the output or even the waste products of another organization. Of course, Claire's is ideally situated as a restaurant there to be taking food from the farms, to be buying it, of course. But do you have any other maybe more surprising stories of businesses feeding off of each other?
Well, there's, for example, Vermont Soy works very closely with High Mowing Seeds. They do a lot of our soybean trials. We store and clean our beans at High Mowing Seeds. We compost our waste from our soybean okara at High Fields Institute, which composts and returns it to as a nutrients to the soils. As you mentioned, Claire's Restaurant actually buys about 70% of their food dollars are spent within 15 miles of their downtown location.
70% within 15 miles.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's tremendous. And at the same time, their food scraps go up to High Fields Institute, that then gets spread on Pete's Greens, which grows the vegetables that are served at their restaurant. And North Hardwick Dairy, we use the oil to convert into biofuel that we run our tractors on from Claire. So there's a number of things, and we're also working with Jasper Hill Farm. Vermont Natural Coatings uses whey as a key ingredient to our environmentally safe wood finish. And so we're working with Jasper Hill Farm on possibly being able to source our whey locally from them. So there are a number of interesting things. And one really fun project that the center was involved with was Pies for the People, which was really driven by Tom Stearns at High Mowing Seeds, who extracts the seeds for use, and he sells those. And then he'd have all the byproduct of the squashes and the pumpkins that typically would be composted. But by partnering with Pete Johnson and Pete's Greens and working with Sterling College, and we actually work with some students from the University of Vermont, got donations from milk from North Hardwick Dairy, butter from Cabot, and other key ingredients from locals. We were able to produce a large number of pies that were then donated back to the area food banks and food pantries. So that's another area of collaboration, and that won't happen and can't happen unless there's a tremendous amount of communication and combined interest and seeing that we're taking care of our own community.
Pumpkin Pies for the People. I love it. That took place last fall, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a local food economy at work, and living off of each other's products, taking advantage of each other's services. You're also looking at export, right?
Absolutely. The one important factor in all this is that the businesses that locate here and that either are partnering directly with the farmer or buying from the farmer need to be profitable in order for them to grow, create more jobs, so that we need to create a high premium products that can be exported into the New York and New England market, as well as the national market. So it's very important that this structure that's set up allows for some economic drivers in the export market. And we're proud to, we make really high quality products in this part of Vermont, as happens all over the state. And we feel very strongly that, not only should we be focusing on feeding Vermont, but we should be focusing on being a supplier to the New England market, which is very close to us. and end the reliance of subsidized vegetables and energy from coming across the country.
Is transportation to or from Hardwick a challenge?
Yeah, once you get here, you're fine. then you don't want to leave.
But, right. I'm thinking of the products for export.
Right. And again, one thing that we already have, Vermont actually has a very efficient distribution system through Black River Produce and Squash Valley, who come through town just a couple days a week at least. Other more regional and national distributors actually come through town two to three times a week. So there is access to markets through the existing distribution chain, and also as more products are being produced here, there's more opportunity for collaboration on sharing a truck. Or I could see down the road that a distribution truck is going from Hardwick, Vermont to New York City with all the shared cost of expense of taking that truck into the market. And those things are already happening. We're starting to share rides and collaborate with existing businesses. But as we develop new products and with the relocation of the Food Venture Center to Hardwick in the spring, that's going to create just a tremendous potential for new businesses in food and agriculture that need to get their products to market. So,
Speaking of sharing. Speaking of sharing rides, I want to thank you again for sharing a ride with me down to the Slow Foods Conference a couple months ago. There was a whole bunch of people from Hardwick going to that. Not everybody fit in the van that Tom Stearns rented. So you came down in your car and took me on down there. I appreciated that.
Well, Carl, it's always interesting to hear your views on everything because they make so much sense. And when we talk about what we're doing here, you know, energy is such a critical component of the success and the need for what we're doing here on the local level. And if this meltdown of our economic structure is an indication on how we should be preparing for a meltdown of sorts for the food system, we better be aware.
Mm-hmm. And if the meltdown of the food system isn't imminent after all, we'll have a good time together getting ready for it anyway.
Right. At least we eat well.
Eating well and making pies together, all sorts of things. Yeah. What's happening with the Food Venture Center this spring?
Well, the Food Venture Center is relocating from Fairfax to Hardwick, and it's going to get a complete new look and new technology for packing. It's going to have a cheese cell for cheesemakers to be able to start up. It also will have meat processing capacity at the plant, as well as the traditional value-added products of canning and jarring and things like that.
And
so it's really exciting.
Explain who's going to use it and what they're going to use it for.
Well, some of the existing companies right here in Hardwick, it'll allow Vermont Soy to expand some product lines by using the infrastructure of the plant. Jasper Hill Farm will be using it to help advance the areas of new cheesemakers for their cheese cellar in Greensboro. It'll provide opportunities for even the farmer to come down and can or develop a new recipe. And one of the other exciting things is that it's not just coming down. We'll have access to the University of Vermont using their labs and technology that comes from UVM, as well as the food technology available at the Food Venture Center. At the same time, by having a lot of high-quality value-added products from one area, we'll be able to develop a very interesting and compelling brand for our products that will help reach markets that otherwise would be more difficult to get into. So we'll see a lot of interesting projects coming up in this first year for sure, and down the road, it's just going to create just the type of infrastructure that is needed to really move the food system forward.
So this is an economic development engine focused on the food economy.
Right.
And it's funded by the state, I assume?
Well, there's a number of different financing pieces to it. It's quite a puzzle, some federal, some state foundations, grants, loans. So there's such an interest and desire to make this happen that fortunately, the funding is being put into place.
Okay, so in this era of cutbacks and rescissions, no indications that you need to protect the funding for the Food Venture Center?
Well, no. I think now, I mean, what is interesting, and you mentioned the slow money meeting that we went to, is that what we're finding is that because of the lack of confidence in the actual structure of our economic structure, that folks are more interested in investing in tangible assets. And when you can invest in a facility that then maybe produces 15 to 20 new businesses, there's a pretty good return in that. So I think we're seeing from that, when you talk about job creation and the need to create jobs and long-standing jobs or businesses that continue to grow, I'm very confident that those who we're going to ask money for will do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else you'd like to leave us with, Andrew Meyer?
No, I'm just excited about the conference this weekend. It's going to be a great conference. As you, Olga mentioned, there are so many workshops that are going to be going on, and I'm looking forward to it. I always learn more from others going to these things, and I certainly will give to people, but this is a great opportunity to get everyone together and really see the excitement. I think if you come, you're going to be pleasantly surprised about the actual excitement about agriculture in Vermont.
And which day is it, Saturday or Sunday you're giving the keynote?
I'm on Saturday.
Saturday, so yep. You're the Saturday keynote speaker. The Sunday keynote speaker is Elliot Coleman, who's done a lot of work with a lot of things related to organic farming, especially season extension. I think that's his topic, right?
Yep,
very good. Well, Andrew Meyer, the keynote speaker for Saturday at the NOFA Winter Conference in Randolph, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, Carl, thank you very much.